The reductions will be spelled out in more detail in the formal rollout of DOD's 2015 budget proposal, but top Air Force officials said that they intend to go beyond Hagel's 20% directive as part of the service's effort to reduce internal costs and redirect funds to military readiness and modernization. Deborah Lee James, speaking at a Bloomberg conference on Wednesday, said the service plans to trim military, civilians, and contractor staff in headquarters positions rather quickly and finish the process in as soon as 1 to 2 years. Also, she says, the Air Force will move to realign its organizational structure, getting rid of as many areas of what it sees as administrative overlap as possible.
We're also looking to centralize policy and oversight of installation support. So this would be a joining together of such functions for policy and oversight to include civil engineering, security forces, and contracting, as well as some others. We're taking a strong look at what can we stop doing. So there's all kinds of administrative types of tasks that we currently do. And why do we do some of them? Well, we do some of them because we've always done some of them. So we're relooking all of that, and we're trying to reduce some of these tasks that are not required by law and that we can reduce. And in so doing, we won't simply foist more work upon fewer people.
The changes will also include a significant restructuring of the top air staff at the Pentagon. The Air Force says it intends to split up the current organization under its Deputy Chief of Staff for Operations, Plans, and Programs, known as the A35, and merge some of those functions into the office of the existing A8, the Deputy Chief of Staff for Strategic Plans and Programs. Eric Fanning, the Undersecretary of the Air Force, says that new A58 organization would be tasked with building and maintaining 30-year plans for the service, while the Air Force financial management community would focus on building year-to-year budgets.
One that is permanent, slightly organic. We'll dust it off every 2 years, do a major review like the QDR every 4 years. But we wanted a team that we could pull out of the annual do loop of the budget. And if you've been following it closely this year, you know, whereas in the past, you sort of everything the Pentagon is built around the budget, built around the schedule of the budget, this madness of the budget cycle we've gone through the last few years, particularly the last year, is driving that do loop from a year to 6 months to a quarter to a month, and it was pulling everyone into that mayhem. And so we want to take a team out of the Air Force, take a breath, and really have them continue to focus on that long-term strategy, 30-year strategy, 20-year strategy, and a 10-year strategy inside of that, again, to help us guide us in making decisions and to allow us to give us some baseline benchmark to judge how we're doing in building the Air Force we think we need.
The service does not currently think it's on track to build the force it needs, mostly because it says it has more force structure right now than it can reasonably afford to maintain and keep ready. As a result, Fanning says, a series of reviews over the past year pushed Air Force decision makers to conclude that they needed to trade off capacity for capability. In other words, the service will need to get smaller in order to get more modern and adequately trained.
We were on a path, again, even with the president's budget, to build an Air Force that we couldn't keep ready the way we wanted to. And second, we had a procurement bow wave right outside the fit-up that was unaffordable. And this is not unusual. This is not unusual to today. It's not unusual to the Air Force. When you build a 5-year plan, you fix things in it by moving it all to that 6th year. You keep moving into the 6th year, which isn't visible in the fit-up. But we made a determination that we were a good 20 years into a readiness problem inside the Air Force. And by readiness, I don't just mean flying hours, which is how we would normally measure it, but readiness is maintainers, it's ranges, it's high-spectrum, high-end integrated training, all sorts of things we weren't doing, not just during the wars, which is normal, but even before the wars. And we said, we can't continue to manage this way, build these bow waves that we fix by digging into the operation maintenance accounts. We've got to fix readiness inside the Air Force.
Air Force officials are already in the process of downsizing their numbers of uniformed personnel, even without a clear picture of whether sequestration-level budget figures will be in place beyond 2015. The service has notified 50,000 of its 280,000 enlisted airmen that it's considering them for involuntary separation. Similar programs are in place for officers. James says the Air Force is using its so-called force-shaping measures to also reallocate its personnel from certain work fields to others.
At the moment, we have some people in certain ranks and certain specialties where we have too many. And then we have other categories of jobs where either because of rank or because of a specialty, we have too few. So there will be opportunities for some of our airmen to retrain from one area into another. So that's one whole segment that's going on. There are also, we're putting out voluntary incentives, so some will leave us. So when all of this is said and done, and I hope it will be over the next year or two, rather than the next 4 or 5 years, we will get this period of uncertainty behind us. And again, with the higher levels of defense spending, we can provide our airmen with the readiness, the equipment, and all of the factors that go into having a positive experience, which it motivates them tremendously.
The Air Force has also announced plans to cut back its inventory of military equipment and says it will announce more details next week. Among the decisions made public so far, the wholesale elimination of the fleet of A-10 attack aircraft and U-2 reconnaissance planes. Officials say if sequestration stays in place in 2016, it will also have to divest its entire fleet of KC-10 refueling tankers. Fanning says those decisions are in part an effort to protect the readiness of the remaining force, but also to make sure it has money to invest in its top three new acquisition priorities, the F-35 fighter, the new KC-46A tanker, and a yet unnamed long-range bomber.
We have tankers and bombers in our fleet today that are flying that were built and delivered when Eisenhower was president. We need to recapitalize those. And it's particularly important, we're down to about 20 of the B-2s now, that we invest in this long-range strike capability as we increasingly face anti-access and anti-denial environments. So those were obvious priorities for us. We did what we could inside the budget to protect those. That goes back to what I talked about earlier. We took some risk in modernizing where we could the existing platforms in order to make sure that we could stay on track in building those next generation platforms.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio.com and 1500 AM.